Good to have on the airwaves our very good buddy Bob Jensen back one more time right before the finals. Bob, good to have you back. We'd love to have you on every day if we could. But I know, first of all, I know Doug Duda would be very, very jealous of that. That's for sure.
Yeah, dude. So Duda up there in Kearney getting a little worked up is what he's doing. So I think we had to probably lay it on pretty thick today, Rich. That's all I'm saying. It's always great to be on the blowtorch. You know that. So anyway, appreciate being on.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Bob. Our semifinal Friday in the books. A lot of good games. Some not so good games. Some of those lopsided games again. But hey, we've got finals taking place Friday, Monday, Tuesday of next week to wrap things up for another high school football season.
Yeah, we do. And you know, you're right. We didn't have a whole lot of nail biters in the semifinals. Things were pretty emphatic. The winners won. I don't know, you know, you look, you know, there's all, you know, week after week after week, you know, there's speculation, there's cogitation, there's all sorts of, you know, maybes and could be's, but when you get right down to it and you look at that list of finalists, in a lot of cases, it just feels like we got the right teams there.
I know a lot of folks around Red Willow County and the area are excited about Southwest and their 11-0 mark, and go to Red Cloud and pitch a shutout 35-0. Yes, I know. I realize Red Cloud is the boy, the Ely kid. Not having him in that lineup probably pretty hurt a lot, but good win, and Southwest going to be making their first six-man championship game against a very good Garden County team on Friday.
Well, I'm glad we start with this one because, you know, we have two first-time state finalists. And, I mean, really, regardless of what happens Friday, you know, this is going to be a week that all of those kids, the coaches, the community, the whole thing, they're going to remember forever. And as far as the Ely kid goes, he's an outstanding player. He's an all-state player. But the bottom line is, you know, he wasn't in the lineup the last couple of games, and, you know, Red Cloud ran away from people. So what Southwest did was unprecedented. Nobody had even come close to slowing them down. Forget about stopping them. They'd won all their games by, I think, like 18 or more. Just, you know, just clubbing people. And so, you know, there's a lot of talk about Houston Billiter and the passing game, and there should be, and all that kind of stuff. Well, here's the deal. You pitch a shutout in the state semifinals, you're the kind of team that can win state. And I just can't imagine what it would be like, you know, to not only, I mean, the stair step here has just been unbelievable. You go from, you know, being good last year to having the program's first undefeated season in the regular season to winning more playoff games than ever before, and now advancing to a state final where they have got a legitimate chance to beat Garden County and be six-man state champion.
Yep, Garden County, a 44-28 win over Stewart, no question. I've looked at some of their – I haven't watched any film, but I've watched looked at some of their stats. They've got some great skilled guys that are putting up some big-time numbers as well.
Well, okay, so I've been saying this all year, so I can't say something different now, but I felt like Garden County was the best team in six, man, from the get-go. But does that mean they'll be the best team Friday? Not necessarily. We'll see. But what they do have, they have incredible depth. They have incredible depth. They have everybody back from last year. Everybody can handle the ball. Everybody can run. Everybody can score. They showed some toughness, you know, rematches, especially rematches against the very capable defending state champion, you know, those are hard to come by. And Garden County made it look pretty easy last week against Stewart. I don't know, that just adds another layer to this whole deal. There's no commonality to speak of. I just feel like we are in for a great six-man final. Most likely one of the best ones we'll have all weekend.
After that, we get a weekend to think about things and get after it on Monday with those two eight-man championship games. And you know what? Why not? And St. Mary's in D2 and Sandy Creek and Crofton in D1. I know we'll not disappoint, will they?
Well, they won't. I don't know how many people had that on their bingo card, you know, the way this all turned out. But take them in order. You know, Sandy Creek's the defending state champion, and people that watch the game, doesn't matter how you watch it, you're going to watch Cam Seeley, a quarterback. And the Shaw kid last year, loved that kid, loved the family, got to know him pretty well over the years. You know, he was not just about stats. That kid had swagger. The kid had great presence. And Cam's got that, too, only, you know, he's a sophomore, so it isn't like he's got 4 years of street cred behind him. But what he does have are some mind-blowing numbers on offense. He is one of the most dynamic playmakers in the state. The Biltoff kid and Alston Clark there at linebacker, two great defenders. You know, there's another Shaw kid, Christian Shaw, on the line. I mean, you know, Sandy Creek has put all the pieces together. They did get beat, but, you know, that's just it. You look around, we don't have that many undefeated teams in the finals. And, you know, they got beat, but then they put things together after the Shelby Rising City game and have just been progressively better throughout the season, which is what you want. It's the same thing with Crofton. So Crofton's loaded with underclassmen. I mean, they have virtually all of their key players are juniors. That junior class is loaded. The Jackson kid at running back, he's got like 48 touchdowns. I had a coach that played against him. Just to give you people a visual, he reminds him of Jerome Bettis, the bus.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So, and again, Crofton's not known for four wide, okay? They're going to line up tight, and they're going to try and shove it down your throat. I don't know that they can do that against Sandy Creek. I think this is one of our most compelling games. And the thing is, you know, Crofton was the only team to have beaten Plainview before Sandy Creek did in the semifinals. And I don't know. It's hard to pick against the defending champs, but it's going to be a great game. And as far as D2 goes, I if you're not in O'Neill or the area and you're not in Why Not, I'm not sure that you had St. Mary's and Why Not in the final, but they took down, they're both giant killers. You know, it's not really fair to Why Not because they were in the state final 2 years ago. But, you know, Central Valley was the defending champion. They'd answered every question. Well, I was at that game, and that is the most – and I've seen Why Not play over the years. That is the most physical football team I've ever seen at Why Not. It's a program that's known for passing, but they can also run the ball, and they just out-hit Central Valley and beat them every way you could. And as far as St. Mary's go, I don't know, man. I've been saying all along that Gage Hedstrom's best player at eight-man football, and there's all sorts of great players. You know, we talked about Seeley. We got Latta, Brock Bailey, people like that out at Dundee. There are others. But the bottom line is the kid, it was just magical the other night. He got hurt, and I'll be honest, I don't know what the injury is, but it did hobble him. It hobbled him so badly that he only ran for 328 yards and 5 touchdowns against Hal Dodge. So it really slowed him, and, I guess for the sake of decent society, it's a good thing the kid wasn't completely healthy. But that's going to be a really high-scoring final in D2.
And then to wrap things up on Monday, a great Class B game in Gretna East and Waverly finally knocks that door down after semifinal each and every year and coming up short. And, it just might be the Vikings' year, but you know darn well Gretna East will have something to say about that.
Well, okay, so in the name of full disclosure, one of my favorite people that I have met in all the time I've done Huskerland is a guy named Reed Manstead, who's the head football coach at Waverly. He's got a staff that's loaded with people that I've gotten to know over the years and I'm quite fond of. All of that matters to some degree, but they have something that they haven't had in the past. They've got all the pieces. The defense is there. They got a great running back, Nathan Axman, you know, perfectly named because that guy is a killer carrying the ball. But this Broxton Tepley that transferred in from Lincoln Southwest gave them I think he's thrown for like 2,200 yards, really balanced the offense. They've scored on everybody. You know, they got ahead of Bennington 28-0. That's certainly a team that's perfectly capable of winning. Gretna East, you know, doubled down on the earlier win against Gretna High. I'm pulling from the underdog. It would have been fun to see Gretna High find a way to get in there. But the bottom line is Gretna East is, it's another one of those new suburban schools here in the Omaha area that just blossomed. And they were good last year, got their first playoff win. That's a great football team right now. Way better than they were. I saw them in week 3. Way better team Connor Sands, the name to know, 22,000 yards, something like that. All I know is he's an Air Force commit. And great kid. And another great final. You know, Waverly, you know, so Gretna's, it's their first time. Waverly hasn't been there since 1980. So you like games like that.
Tuesday, I'm intrigued by that first game out of the chute there, Bob, with Sydney and Wahoo. They met in the semis last year. Can the Red Raiders, an undefeated season, knock out the defending state champs this time around to kick things off on Tuesday?
And it's funny you should say it like that, because here's something else. Maybe my favorite person that I have got, Ryan Smith, the coach out of Sydney. I've known the Smith family forever. For 40 years, I've known him. And, Ryan's dad, Reggie Smith, got to get Reggie's name in there. He was the first parade All-American from the state of Nebraska when he played at West Point back in the 60s. Well, anyway, Ryan has got that team into three state semifinals in a row. It's the first time it's ever happened at Sydney. This is, I'll be honest, I thought last year might be the best team he'd ever had, but this team is better. And it showed a lot of guts coming back at the end against Lakeview last week. It's hard to do against a really, really good team when you're on the road. It feels like Sydney could be a team of destiny, except for the fact that Wahoo is just so much better than anybody else in that class. Doesn't mean they can't be beat. But honestly, this Kip Brigham, I'm telling you what, people, make time to watch Wahoo with the ball a couple times, because that kid does not run like a C1 running back. He's an elite back. He's one of the top five backs in the state all class. And they've got lots of pieces to go with him. So it's a big old hill to climb for Sydney, Wahoo just, they can be beat. I just don't see it happening next week.
And then, C2 is going to be fun. Wahoo Newman GI Central Catholic. And then Class A to wrap things up, Millard South. Man, I thought Westside maybe might make it a closer game, but it was 7-7 at one time. And then Millard South went bonkers and went 62-21.
Well, it reminds me of the great, late great Albert Fuller, my science teacher back in high school. Hardin, Strasburg, I know you're listening. You remember Mr. Fuller, who told us one year, we were just getting ready to, his was the last class of the day before Thanksgiving breaks. He stopped us before we left and said, I just want you to know the score of the Nebraska-Oklahoma game on Friday before it ever starts. And, of course, we all sat up because this guy's, he's a mystic. Well, not really. He said it would be 0-0 because, the game hadn't started yet. I don't know why I still remember that. But anyway, the point being, it was 0-0 with Millard South and Westside, and it'll be 0-0 here with Papio South next week, but it won't be like that very long. Millard South is just a machine. People know the story. The bottom line is that's a unbelievable collection for our state. That is without a doubt the most elite collection of high school football players we've ever had on one team. And more that Tamala kid at quarterback whose ancestry takes him back to Lexington. He looks more and more like he belongs at Alabama where he's committed. So that's probably going to take care of itself. Really happy for Papio South. It's their first time ever in the state finals, so good for them. Hopefully, it's a great night. It'll be a great night. I don't know that the game will work out, but we'll know more once it's played, I guess. The other thing is, Newman's back-to-back years in the C2 semifinal. Kind of an old story. I mean, Newman's been there. Now they went through a little phase there where they were, away from the table for a little bit, but that's a really good football team. I tell you what, I went to the Ord Central Catholic game. And Ord had won the first one, and I was kind of curious to see what would happen. All right, so there's a school of thought that says those were the two best teams in the state. That was the state championship game. And based on what I saw, I could believe that might be the case. I think this is going to be a close game, but all right, so Central Catholic's got Grayson Sack and all those receivers. Connor Haney, a name to know. That kid is spectacular on both sides of the ball. Big, strong, physical receiver. Newman's got, Jack Van Slyke and a bunch of kids that are back from last year's semifinal team. I don't know. Central Catholic hasn't been in a state final for, if my math is correct, 42 years.
Wow.
It's it just feels like it's going to be worth the wait.
Going to be a fun time Friday, Monday, Tuesday, Bob. You're going to be all over that and some great things. Hopefully the weather, I think, is going to pan out. Hopefully right before the Christmas break, we have some great contest.
Yeah, we do. And, you know, if we can talk to the weather guy, it was a little dicey there in Kearney on mm-hmm. Friday. You know, we'll work around that. All I know is it's a great time of year. It's a great conclusion to our season. And, we're going to have some things happen that we just knew were going to happen. There will also be things we never dreamed would happen. And that's what makes this all so much fun in the first place.
Bob, is always, always good to have you on our airwaves. Thanks a million and have a fun time.
Yep, right on. Thanks a lot. Good to be on, Rich.